this episode of Bear Podcast.
Open relationships.
Dad responds to finding out his son was gay.
Free SSL certificates.
And Benji, the story of a gay bull.
All these, plus your emails, coming up next.
Bear Podcast, 544.
Bears.
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get some scrub there to fix it for you.
Can I do a podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute,
white. That's two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
Welcome to episode 544. It's a Wednesday, November 19th, 2014.
That's right, Wednesday, not Tuesday.
Yes, it's a Wednesday.
Thank you, Nard, for postponing the show for one night so I could celebrate my mother-in-law's 87th birthday.
That's right. Yeah, we're supposed to record, you know, usually record on Tuesdays, but we need to take a break once in a while or shift it up once in a while. Sometimes it's on a Monday, sometimes it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Yeah, but last night was special, and we kind of forgot what date the birthday was.
So
I was like, wait, the birthday's not Thursday, it's tomorrow.
So. Yeah, you got to keep track of that. Don't you have alarms on your phone? Like, oh, it's your mom's birthday?
It is not my mother. It is not my responsibility.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So,
so where did you guys go?
We stayed at Robbie's brother's house and just cooked dinner there and had a good time and hung out and celebrated 87 years. So, with his mom.
Wow, 87 years old. And my mom's 80 years old. Wow, that's a long time, 87?
Yeah.
Wow. It was good for this. Happy birthday. Birthday, Mama O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Okay, so last weekend, Mike came over and hung out with him, but Saturday I had softball practice, and then met up with Mike at Lucky's, and then also with Steven. So hi,
you
Steven.
Met up with Mike at Lucky's, or y'all got lucky?
We got lucky at Lucky's.
Okay,
there you go.
Okay,
so we were there watching, and then you guys came. Well, I did text you where we were, but I didn't know you guys are like 2 minutes away once we arrived there.
Well, you never know where I might be.
Where were you guys? I mean, when I texted the address to you, where were you guys? Were you guys on the road?
We were actually in the neighborhood.
Oh, so you thought about, oh, it's very near.
Yeah, well, I figured you'd be watching football somewhere.
So. Yeah.
So anyway, friends of ours, Jay and Devin from Chicago, came into town.
And also Phil.
Mm-hmm. And Phil.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's a pleasure to see these guys because I haven't seen them since, when was the last time I saw them?
Drenched Fur.
Drenched Fur? Oh, my God. It's been that long. When was the last time you saw them?
The year I went to P-Town.
That's the last time you saw Devin and Jay?
Jay.
That's a
personally,
long
time. Yeah. First time we talked to each other on Facebook and kept up that way. So.
Yeah, and when you guys saw each other at Drenched Fur, also in P-Town, yeah. Wow, it's been a long time. Yeah, so he stayed with you guys.
Yeah, him and Jay stayed with us.
You picked him up Saturday?
Picked him up Saturday at the airport. Went back to the house, dropped the stuff off, and they were like, we're hungry. We've been going since 4 o'clock this morning. I'm like, what do you want? We want some Texas barbecue. And I was like, okay. So we went to Papa's Barbecue.
Good Company.
Good Company Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Keep that straight because Papa sucks. But went to a Good Company Barbecue, got us some good Texas barbecue. There's a picture of Jay and I under the chandelier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's coming up soon. Yeah.
So ate there, and then I said, well, let me show you around a little bit. So we went down to the neighborhood, and I said, don't blink. This is it. We rode around the block.
It is really small. Wait, you went to Pacific Street?
Went to Pacific Street.
That was really small.
So that's Hollywood. That's that used to be the big store. Asian food place that's all closing down now. So,
I want to talk about that maybe later.
Okay.
But yeah.
So, and then that's when I texted Nard and said, hey, where are you guys at? And he said, oh, we're at Lucky's. We're downtown.
I thought the address was downtown. And then when you reach the place, oh, this is the address.
Yeah, it's in the Heights. And it's kind of funny because that I think that bar was named something else. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I don't remember it being named Lucky's. But last Christmas, about the like in a couple of weeks last year, one of my coworkers won a happy hour there, holiday happy hour there. Mm-hmm. So we were there in the upstairs partying last Christmas. Yeah.
It's open for upstairs.
So
it'd be cold. It was really cold.
Well, they had it's closed in upstairs, and they had heaters on it. It's kind of chilly, but
yeah, I guess. Well, actually, the reason why Devin and Jay are in town in Houston is because of the Chumley cruise that's happening at La Porte. Is it La Porte? You guys went to La Porte, right?
Yes, it's sailed out of La Porte, Port of Houston.
Houston,
which is in La Porte.
Yeah.
So,
did you know that they left the day after?
Yes, I saw the post. And I was like, "Why are they still in dock?" But apparently, the weather was so bad the ship couldn't leave.
Yeah, I know.
So they sat there, but you know. Got a bunch of gay boys on a cruise. The drinks were flowing. I'm sure everybody was partying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So whether they were at sea or still stuck here in Houston. So
it's funny.
But we met a bunch of people Saturday night.
We went to Neon Boots.
Neon Boots for the pre-registration party or whatever it was called. Yeah. And hung out there with a bunch of people. Got to meet Rodney and
Kegger. And Kegger, Fred. Yeah. Kegger.
Also got to meet a couple of people that I've been talking to on Facebook and got friends with and talked to on other sites. And of course, my mind just went blank. But
PK.
PK, yes.
Oh, you know PK. He's in pictures here. Want a picture.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't see him.
Yeah, shout out PK.
So met him and then talked to Michael, who's from
and
Chicago.
And Mike, yeah. And Michael's,
Mike,
yeah.
Not Michael. His name's, he goes by Mike.
Yeah.
Who's from Chicago, who's just a chatty Cathy. Loved her.
Very nice. There's PK.
There, there he is.
Oh, yeah, we're flashing the pictures if you guys are listening. If you're watching the video, you'll see some pictures.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's nice to hang out with them, get to know them and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I got to know them. And many of the Houston people are going.
Yeah, a lot of Houston people went on the trip. So. Yeah.
And I was there, and we're here in Houston. They're all having fun there. They're going to be in Belize. They're going to be in...
all the pictures I keep seeing posted on Facebook that are coming through, it's cloudy and cold, and they're like, we're ready for some warm weather. So hopefully they'll get to some warm weather. So
yeah, as they go. You should be there by now, I guess. I mean, since they left Monday, I don't know. I feel sad.
I think it takes about 2 days to get... Well, it depends on how the cruise is running. If they're going
down... What are they going to do? They lost a lot of time because... Everything they're supposed to leave on Sunday, but they couldn't, so they had to leave the day after.
Yeah.
So what happens to they make up the time?
Well, either the ship books to where it's going to, or they cut one of the ports call out to see. It all depends on the weather and what they can do. I mean, there's no guarantee you're gonna hit all these ports call. And you got the last cruise I was on, the ship had mechanical failure, and we were supposed to be going to Belize, and in the middle of that, they turned around and took us back to Cozumel and said, "Look, we figured you'd rather be sitting here in Cozumel for a day while we're getting them." Mechanics that can work on this flown in here instead of being sitting at sea tugging along slow and just having a 3-day sea voyage instead of a 2-day sea voyage back to Houston. So
I've never been on a gay cruise before. I'm sure it's going to be...
All cruises are gay.
not all of them. Some of them are, you know, are...
They're pretty gay.
They're pretty gay.
So
lots of food.
There's show tunes.
Show tunes. So I did ask, what did I ask? Somebody I asked if there's a Friends of Dorothy, but there's no Friends of Dorothy anymore because the whole cruise is gay.
Not the whole cruise is gay. There's only about 600 of the 600 something. I don't forget what the number was.
Who
it's
needs
actually
a Friends
on the cruise
of
for? I mean, you can get 3,000 or 4,000 people on there. That's a small majority.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a bunch of straight questioning men that might. Figure out something this week.
Some straight so, guys.
So,
yeah.
But anyway.
You dropped them off at the port.
Dropped them off at the port and went back home.
Mm-hmm.
Spent the rest of the day relaxing.
Oh, good for you. So that Sunday, I was hurrying Saturday night after Neon Boots because I thought we're going to have a softball game. A softball practice. A softball game. So we were supposed to have the last day of fall ball. But it got canceled because of the raining, the weather. So, I just stayed home. And then he realized, I should have just hung up with you guys. Oh. I should have gone and see you guys, help out dropping the guys off at the airport.
You could have come down, so.
Yeah.
because they didn't have to be there until like, we didn't even get them, we didn't get going until like noon.
They board at 10, I think.
Well, they probably start, I don't think they, no. They, well, this is a weird deal how they did this, but they didn't start, the ship, they weren't supposed to be on board until 4 o'clock. So whenever they started boarding, they had to 4 o'clock to get there. So.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so we did that. What time did you guys arrive there at the port? About afternoon? About 1?
So.
Oh, okay. So.
Because I was at home by 2, well, like 3. I'd stop and run a couple errands, but.
So. Actually, that day, Sunday, I just went to Costco. I bought this jacket. I'm just so proud of this jacket because it's really, it's very, you know.
So you didn't have a jacket?
I don't have a good jacket right now. I don't have a good windbreaker. And the sleeves are falling apart from my old one. So I thought, maybe it's time for me to get one. And then I went to Costco and saw a couple. So I bought this. So. Oh. Actually, right now here it's how many degrees?
I've never seen it. It's still in the 60s in the car thermometer when I was coming over here.
Yeah, it's a little chilly right now for me. So, but on Friday, I heard it's going to go back to 80 or something.
I don't know. I keep seeing the reports going that the cold front's kind of moved through, but another one might be coming through, and then it might be getting warmer again. So we'll see. It's crazy weather. But there's no global warming.
There's no global warming.
There's no global warming.
Are you one of those deniers?
No global warming. And fracking doesn't cause earthquakes. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, you did an interview earlier in the year.
Yes, and I was in P-Town last July. I was able to interview Brian Sims. He's the representative, gay representative of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Yeah.
And last week it popped up on Queerty that he did a Throwback Thursday post. And it was him in his college football attire.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, hello there, Senator. Future Senator. Which he's good looking now without, you know, with 10, 15.
It's a September 2000 Throwback Thursday, a few hours before the first game of my senior year at Bloomsburg University of Pennsylvania. We were in Tennessee for the NCAA kickoff classic to start their season. It's pretty hot.
Yep. And he only got hotter as he got older, so.
Yep. He's even hotter. I thought
that was pretty interesting since you'd interviewed him because he got reelected, correct?
Yep.
Well, good.
Good for him.
So he's back in the Senate. So, talking about Chumley Cruise and other gay events.
Okay. Do you have a green dot?
Well, I wasn't going to give that away. So, but since you did, I noticed that when we were there Saturday night at Neon Boots, people were walking around with their badges on and they had dots on them and they were different colors. So I queried, what do the dots mean? Well, green dots means that you're in an open relationship. Red dot means no. No dot means I guess you got to ask. But there's a whole, it's like hanky colors. It was dot colors about what you could and couldn't
do. Dot colors.
So, but you know, and then I saw this article come across Instinct Magazine this week that says, when you hear, I'm in an open relationship, how do you respond?
Oh, it's somebody asking you that, hey, I'm in an open relationship.
Well, so you're talking to somebody. You've been chatting somebody up or they hit you up online or like people were talking to me in the bar and I did not have a badge on, but they were interested.
Could have gotten the dot.
And their partner was sitting right there. How do you deal with that open relationship thing? I mean,
how do you respond if you're asked?
How do you respond? I mean, you know, there's not much responder you should ask, but. What's the majority feeling of it? Because I was surprised because there were some friends of mine there that had green dots on.
Really?
And I was like, well, okay. I get, you know. And it wasn't really much a surprise. I was like, I just didn't realize that about them, about their relationship.
Oh.
And I don't think it's, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing or they're sluts or anything like that. It's all that whole, you know, it's just like, oh, I didn't realize that about y'all guys. So.
Are you saying that at some point these people who are in open relationships, they kind of flaunt it on your face?
No, I don't know. Not that at all. But I think, you know, say you're single. Say if we were single and you've been chatting with somebody, you know, say you saw them online, thought they were cute and you hit them up and you started chatting. But in their profile, it says nothing about a relationship or something. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, by the way, I'm in an open relationship.
Oh, while chatting, huh?
While chatting, and you're like, oh. So that's an interesting topic that I think comes up a lot because even when I was on the chat sites and stuff, there's a lot in open relationship, an open relationship, an open relationship.
Yeah. But you know, when I chat with people, I'm always upfront. Whenever, you know, somebody chats with me, somebody I like, you know, just for chatting on Growler. And I always make it a point that I say that to my husband, my partner and I used to go there. My partner and I are going, my partner's coming over this weekend.
Yeah, but some people don't care about that. That means nothing to some people.
Yeah, that's true. Some people don't care about that.
I mean, some people don't even still understand the concept of no. But mm-hmm. So anyway, it's an interesting article, and we can post the link so y'all can read it because it's pretty lengthy. But the author says, one boundary I never desired to cross was that of the open relationship. When I see on someone's profile or hear them mention they're in an open relationship or married, I move on to the next profile person. At this point in my life, I'm not looking for someone that is already attached, even if they may just be for a little fun. So I wonder how that works, because I know a lot of we have friends that are older and been together for a long time, and they're in open relationships and they're still together. And
yeah.
So, but what do y'all think about it? I mean, do y'all think that, does that bother you if you meet someone and think they're cute in that open relationship and
you're yeah. okay with so it? It's a matter of, are you going to pursue that, or do you wait for me to pursue you or something? I don't know. That could be a good question. So I felt like last weekend there was a lot of that. at the Neon Boots, because you know mm-hmm. people you know they kind of that's how I feel.
Yeah.
There's even one who says I'm the Green Dot ambassador. Well, Devin was telling me about somebody who's a Green Dot ambassador. You know, I say nothing bad. I'm just saying that they're mm-hmm. really just sharing that. Oh, I'm a Green Dot. Well, they don't say that, but. Their IDs, their badges really show it. So, you know,
yeah.
that they have a green dot. I just find it funny that they really have to flaunt it. So what are the colors? Red? You have green?
I don't know what the colors are. I really don't care. I just knew the red was in its open relationship and red was meaning in a closed
And if you don't have any, that means you're single.
I didn't say it. I didn't go into all that detail.
They only know those two details.
I know those two details. But, you know, it's just surprising. And it did surprise me, but it was just, I was just like, I guess because I was brought up, I still tie relationships and stuff to more heterosexual environment.
Okay.
Than to the gay world where things change and people are fluid and can't have open relationships. Mm-hmm. And I'm not judging anybody about that. I think it's great. I don't think I can do it. I think there are limits on what I can do because of jealousy. And
wow. Are you saying you're straight?
Yes.
You're straight.
I'm straight.
Straight to the next cock? Okay. No. Well, no. Actually, no. Right.
No. Right. Exactly.
Actually, no. Yeah. It's interesting. So, what do you guys think? That's a good question. What? How do you respond if somebody comes to you? Hey, I have an open relationship. Yeah, that's a good question. Okay. So, anything else?
No. I think that was it. I just wanted to ask some people about what they thought about that and how they felt about, you know, if you're single. And then you meet somebody that you're kind of attracted to. Is an open relationship? Does that hinder you? Does that, like, oh, or is that...
Does
that
stop you? Yeah.
Yeah. Are you one of those people that actually look for that because you're not looking for the commitment? You just want somebody to screw around with and they're already in relationships. So you don't have to worry about it's no strings attached pretty much, blah, blah, blah.
But you know what? I'm intrigued. I'm saying intrigued, not interested, but intrigued. By guys who are on Growler. Who are very upfront that they do have a girlfriend or they have a wife, but then they just want to play. Yeah, how do you respond to that? I mean,
well, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other story, I guess. If the guy is straight, well, he's not really straight then. He's bi, because he's hitting up on you, but then he does have a girlfriend or a girlfriend or a wife. But then, you know, he plays around. I mean, how do you respond to that? That's a whole new ball game right there.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
It gets very confusing. And relationships are hard enough as they are. So, you know, then you...
Why complicate it?
Why complicate it? It's mm-hmm. a thing. But, you know, to each and every his own. So, yep. Anyway, moving on to entertainment.
Okay, so the next Fantastic Four movie will ruin Doctor Doom and our children. So... Okay, I haven't read the article yet, but I guess this is a new set of them, right?
Well, they're rebooting. Rebooting the Fantastic Four. So, and in the reboot, instead of Victor Von Doom, he's Victor Damashev. How do you say his last name?
Victor Damashev.
Damashev.
Not Victor Von Doom in our story. What?
Toby Kebbell, who will star as the Doctor, said in a recent interview on Collider, "And I'm sure I'll be sent to jail for telling you that. The doom is ours. I'm a programmer, very antisocial programmer. Imagine that. And blogging on sites, I am Doom."
Really?
So they're doing a different spin on how Doom comes up. So, but you miss those lines that, like in the comic book where Victor Von Doom says, "Before this day is ended, mankind shall grovel helplessly at my feet. And as fate is obviously ordained, Dr. Doom shall be master of the earth." If that's not enough, Doom once fought the devil, Mephisto.
He did?
Yes, to free the damned soul of his own mother. So there's all this colorful history, science, magic thing behind Victor Von Doom and the guy that becomes Dr. Doom. So
that is just weird.
But now they're kind of retelling that and making a modern twist on it. So, but the author of this article says, "As in changing comic book canon just because you can, it might not seem like this matters, but it does. Comic book heroes are American myths, but they operate on a subversive level that was completely missed by scared parents and politicians in the 1950s. They're vigilantes with amazing powers who sometimes inspire readers to act likewise. And to the doubters who believe comics still live in the shadow of Shakespeare, Fitzgerald, or Wells, please consider reading more Morrison and Miller," who are all comic book writers. "The rise of the literary comic book graphic novel, if you prefer, is somewhat recent. But kids have been weaned on superhero stories for decades. It wasn't so long ago that a kid could buy a comic book with pocket change at any convenience store in town," which I used to do. "Those days, of course, are over." Yeah, because they're too damn expensive anymore. Mm-hmm. "Kids don't read comic books anymore. They consume Hollywood's interpretation of comics. This could be the first generation of American children to discover superheroes through movies, not comics. And if the movies don't care about the canon, then those myths are going to die."
Yeah, you're right. It's everywhere around now. They just watch the movie and then realize that it's a comic book. Well, many literature or many movies are like that. You watch it and then you realize it's a book. It's a comic book. Like Dexter. It's a series. I didn't know it was a book.
Yeah.
Wasn't 007 James Bond also a book?
Yes.
It was a book and then just became
Ian Fleming wrote a whole set of novels about James Bond, so
yeah. There's that. Breaking Bad is not. That's really straight to TV.
Yes.
Straight to TV.
But you got all these movies now, like Amazing Spider-Man, Superman, the reboot of Superman.
Actually, even Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, which...
Well, it's not much hero, but it's more drama, right?
So. Well, true, but it's from a comic book. Visual, but they don't get... Like, you watch the movies, and if you've read, on the Walking Dead, I mean, there's some stuff that's very much canon in Walking Dead, the comic book, and there's stuff that's totally nowhere near what they're in the comic books, which I understand you have to change and adapt if you go to a different medium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but it's also one of those things, if you don't go back, and if movies are released and they're based on books, I try to go back and read the book.
That's what I did with The Hunger Games. And I did say before that I hated it. I hated the ending. I hated the third book. So whatever the movie is coming out, I hate it already. I don't know why. Anyway, you just got to read it to know how I felt. I felt kind of betrayed after reading the third book.
But you also have that thing that in movies, everything's condensed. So all the small plot lines, all the little back information that you get in the storyline of a comic book that's been going on for 30 years. I mean, look how many times they reset the DC and Marvel universes. They've expanded, contracted, combined, changed characters have died, been brought back. I mean, when is Wolverine coming back? I mean, they've even killed Superman, I think, twice and brought him back.
I only know one prominent one.
So
with Doomsday.
But many times this happens and stuff, but you don't get all the little nuances. You don't understand what all was going there, like some of the characters. Like Gotham is totally non-canon for many of the comic books that I know of, but it's pulling together that where in the movies and the TV shows and other comics that these villains really didn't know each other. Now in the TV medium, they did kind of know each other. They were all kind of running around being gangsters when they were younger, mm-hmm. and then developed into the big supervillains that they were when they got older.
Yeah. So that reminds me of Smallville too. Because
yeah, Smallville. I mean, if you watch Smallville and thought you got all the Superman story out of it, no. Like mm-hmm. Lois and Clark. I mean, they're just taking information and turning it and rewriting it, which is good. I mean, I don't have anything wrong with that. But it's also good to know the source material.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a totally different story that it tells. But what I did like about Smallville, you know, it's like Jesus Christ. You know, he was born.
Yeah.
Well, he was born, and then after being born at 12 years old, he was teaching in the temple. And the next thing you know, 33 years old, he was 30 years old. He was already the Messiah, and he has the apostles. And yeah. So, what happened from 12 years old to 30 years old? There are so many things that happened.
You have to read the Anne Rice books to figure that out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They have that. So Smallville is pretty much like that. What happened to him when he was
a Well, not necessarily. Up? It's another take on it because there's the whole Superboy comic books that delved into what Superman's life was as a young teenager, just child before he became the Superman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Growing up with the family, him going into the future and becoming part of the Legion of Superheroes mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. All that's kind of got missed. I mean, you got a little bit of that in Smallville because a couple of the Legions showed up when they traveled back in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it wasn't as in-depth as you got when you read the comic books, you know.
Yeah, so these movies are now making you interested to get the comic books, which is the same way with me with Walking Dead. I heard about The Walking Dead. I heard about it all the time, and I got to buy the comic books. Yeah. I mean, it's really a way to sell the comic books, too, so which is good. Anyway, so...
But here's some examples I gave, like Paul Giamatti in a mechanical rhino suit in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Was that him?
Yes.
Oh, it was him.
But only in the comic books, he's not in a mechanical suit. A joyless Superman movie, Man of Steel, in which the most popular hero in the world murders someone.
Yeah, it's really a different story.
And let's not forget what they did to Galactus in the last Fantastic Four movie. Instead of presenting the Devourer of Worlds and all his armor-plated planet-eating majesty, they turned him into a cloud. Mm-hmm. So, it just goes on about stuff like what they've changed. So,
they do that a lot. They change it. They change it in such a way that
but it's still when there, somebody but says it's not Galactus, there. I think of this big guy with this big crown on his big head helmet. That's bigger than the earth, floating through space, you know, Silver Surfer surfing around him. Mm-hmm. And then they make this movie, he's this giant cloud.
Yeah, he is a cloud. It's been a long time. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, that's a good insight. But what I do like about it is the concept of being in the movies first before you actually read the comic book.
Well, no, I think, you know, and I think it's hard to go back and catch some of them, but you can go back and collect anthology of the comic books and read them to catch up on them. And I highly encourage anybody to do that. So I need to do that some myself to catch up on some storylines.
Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Can I take the gay?
All right.
And
I like the story.
I like the story, and I'm going to read the whole story because it's worth reading.
Can I be the boy?
Sure.
Okay.
Dad accidentally discovers his teenage son is gay. And he handles it like a real man. This popped up on Queerty this week. Anyone who's ever hopped on a friend's computer or tablet knows Google search history is an incredible easy way of involuntarily snooping on the device's owner current state of affairs. And that's how this story begins. Reddit user HeMeYou asked to borrow his 13-year-old son's iPad and noticed that a lot of old searches popping up along the lines of, I'm gay, what now? Luckily, there are dads like this one out there in the world. He turned to Reddit to seek advice on what to do. His posting was, mm-hmm. I love him regardless of which gender he loves. In fact, when I was slightly older than him, I had a few flings with guys, which he doesn't know about, so I'm 100% supportive. He has seemed slightly down recently, as in he isn't cheerful as he once was, and I desperately want to tell him that I love him regardless of which sexuality he is. What are my options? Should I wait for him to tell me, or should I take a few hints at it?
Oh.
Or make a few hints at it, sorry. I'm worried that if I don't hint at it, then he would be worried about something that really doesn't have to be worried about, if that makes sense. And he got a bunch of great posts back. So, and I didn't post all those, but you can go read the article on Quirity. But he responds, "Firstly, I'd like to thank all of you who commented and gave me advice on the previous post. And because the post got so much attention, I thought it wouldn't be fair for me not to make it an update. As if the responses aren't heartwarming enough, he posted the update."
Wow.
"Firstly, I'd like to thank all of you who commented and gave me advice on the previous post. And because the post got some attention, I thought you'd
be fair to it again."
Oh, sorry. I jumped. "As many comments suggest that I do, it is slightly hint toward the notion that I am perfectly happy with having a gay son, while letting him do the work and actually saying the words, 'I'm gay.' And I thought that was a very good idea. I started off with talking about general media with him. For instance, I mentioned how awesome it was that Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, which we talked about the other week, came out as being gay and asked him what he thought about it. And I was completely expecting him to give me the typical teenager response like, 'Yeah, it's good,' or something like that, but he actually gave me a detailed response, which I was absolutely loved, because for the first time in a while, I actually held a conversation with my son that felt really rewarding."
Wow, okay.
"I also want to talk to him about how I noticed that he's not been acting as cheerful as he usually has, and I sort of gave the chisel spiel of...
The cliche spiel.
The cliche, sorry. That I love you no matter what, and I just want to see you be happy. But I didn't get much of a response that time, apart from the 'yeah, I know.' The next day, as I picked him up from school, I thought I'd ask him about any crushes he has. And I wanted to make sure I didn't say a gender when I asked him to. Instead of 'he' or 'she,' I used 'they,' etc. Here's the conversation as I remember it."
Okay. I'll be the son. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
"So do you have a crush on anyone?"
No. Maybe.
Oh, so who's the lucky person?
At this point,
he sort of looked at me slightly confused. I'm not 100% sure why, but I'm assuming it's because I said lucky person rather than lucky girl.
"Just someone from my French class."
"Oh, yeah. So what do you like about them?"
He uses them. "Just stuff."
"Okay, but like what?"
"I don't know. They're just kind of funny, I guess."
At this point, I dropped the conversation, but before I did, I told him, "Well, whoever it is, they should be so lucky to have you as a boyfriend." And while I didn't see it, I certainly felt as though he was rolling his eyes at my cheesy comments.
Okay.
At the dinner table the same day, while we were eating, we had a couple minutes of silence. Not much was heard apart from the cutlery, and my son finally saying, "I actually wanted to tell you something in the car, but I was afraid you'd get in an accident." I looked up from my plate and looked at him straight in the eyes. I could see this, that he was thinking about something, and all I could think of was, "Oh my God, this is it." He said,
"Dad," with a couple of seconds of silence, "I'm gay."
I looked at him and couldn't help myself, keep myself from smiling. And I told him,
"Yes! Yeah!" No, he didn't say that. No. Okay, sorry.
"You know I love you so much, right?" And I got up and gave him a huge hug. He even started to cry on my shoulder, and because of that, I couldn't help myself but shed a couple tears. We talked for a bit while finishing our dinner about how I can emphasize enough that I love him regardless of which gender he loves, etc.
Wow.
After dinner and after he finished his homework, we both lay in our pajamas on the sofa while I was watching the cooking channel and he was playing on his iPad. I had mom around him and he was leaning his head on my chest, and all I could think was that I was the happiest father on earth right now.
Aww.
"Thank you all so much for your feedback and suggestions on the last post. All of you are so kind on this
subreddit.
So many of you sent me PMs explaining how super dead I was and honestly brightened my day. For those curious as to what I will be doing next, I've already started doing some research in the LGBT youth communities, and I think joining one would be a perfect start to helping my son develop into the person he has the potential to be. Thank you all again." And that's, folks, is how it's done.
Wow. So if you're a straight dad, see, I have straight friends, and I'm wondering, they have growing kids. How are they going to handle this? I wonder if they're going to handle it badly or handle it the same way his dad would do it.
Yeah. Well, we've had examples on here that we've talked about before where they get kicked out of the house.
Yes. Oh, my God. We talked about it before. The kid got kicked out of the house. There were a couple of them, and there was a Kickstarter just to support him. Oh, wow. That's really sad. But, yeah, this is a very good story of a dad who's very understanding and more power to him. I gotta look for that. I want to read what everyone has to say on the subreddit about it. Okay, let's go on with the geek. Okay, Ray. I don't know if you're going to. I don't know, Ray, if you're going to appreciate this, but I do, and many do actually. If you have a website yourself, this might be a good time to get this. to get these certificates. So EFF and Mozilla joined forces to encrypt the entire web by giving away free HTTPS certificates. Okay, I'll explain after this, okay? Starting in 2015, everyone will be able to get their hands on a free, officially sanctioned SSL/TLS certificate so that that HTTPS can finally be enabled anywhere. The new service, a certificate authority, CA, called Let's Encrypt, is led by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, Mozilla, and the University of Michigan, with Cisco and Akamai joining as major launch partners. If you don't know much about SSL, TLS, and HTTPS, trust me when I say that, it is a very big deal. It is a very big deal right now. If you go to Google, when you search something, it becomes HTTPS. When you go to Facebook.com, you see on the top, it becomes HTTPS. What does it mean? It means that your connection to the internet is secure. Anybody in between might be sniffing your... You know what happens when you're in a public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
If there's a hacker beside you, he can actually see everything that you send. But since the websites right now are HTTPS, even Yahoo, they have everything's HTTPS now. Everything has a secure connection now. So when you surf the web, you may have noticed links, URLs usually begin with HTTPS. So HTTP is just normal, unencrypted, it just goes through. But if you have S for secure, which is great. So basically, when you use HTTP, everything that is sent or received by your browser is in plain text. If someone, a hacker, or the NSA, or Verizon, wants to see what you're doing on the internet, HTTP makes it easy for them to see. So if you have HTTPS, encryption and other protection so that you can be fairly sure that only two people can see your data. You, the one who's sending it, and the web server who are you sending the link to. So what happens is it's going to be free 2015. Everybody, if you have your own .com website, you can have it yourself. You can install that certificate. But how much is a certificate right now? A certificate right now costs...
For us, it was like $300, almost
$600. $300
a year. Yeah.
That's how much an HTTPS certificate, SSL certificate, it's going to be free next year, which is awesome. So everybody can encrypt all their websites. So NSA doesn't have to listen to you. Well, if everybody's encrypted, right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice. All right. What's next, Ray? No, let's go to the bizarre.
on to bizarre. So did you hear about Benji?
No, I haven't, no.
Benji's the gay bull.
Gay bull?
Yes. In the UK, he has such a hard life. Mm-hmm. So Benji the gay bull is saved from the slaughter by the Simpsons creator.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. What did he do?
This comes from BBC. Mm-hmm. A bull branded gay has been saved from the slaughterhouse by charity donations, including $5,000 from Sam Simon, co-creator of the Simpsons.
How do you know it's a gay bull? Keep going. Sorry.
Because instead of going moo, he goes moo.
Moo. Yeah.
So, Benji from County Mayo, Ireland, was destined for the Aberdeen after showing more interest in breeding with other bulls and cows. So instead of trying to breed in the females, he was trying to breed in the other bulls.
Really? So that's why he's gay. Yeah. Okay.
Gay animal rights and campaigners launched a joint online campaign to save Benji. It went viral. Homosexual behavior has been observed in 1,500 animal species. Benji's story first came to light when his owner mentioned to a friend and a local journalist, Jonah McNicholas, that Benji was not fulfilling his farm role and would have to be reluctantly sent for slaughter. Miss McNicholas said, he looks like a large lamb. He's very gentle and very quiet.
It's a gay bull.
After Benji's plight appeared on the Connacht Telegraph, it was picked up by the Animal Rights Action Network in Ireland. The Gay UK, an online daily magazine for the gay community, launched a crowdfunder campaign to raise $5,000 to buy Benji. Nobody knows what pounds are. To buy Benji and transport him to the animal sanctuary. In less than a week, the campaign has raised over 9,000 pounds, including the surprise donation from Mr. Simon on Tuesday morning. Mr. Simon diagnosed with terminal cancer in 2012. He is vegan and donated to several projects to rescue animals from cruelty. All animals have a dire destiny in the meat trade, but to kill this bull because he's gay would have been a double tragedy, said Mr. Simon in a statement. He was glad to help make Benji's fate a sanctuary rather than a sandwich. Benji will now be transferring from Ireland to Hillside Animal Sanctuary in Norwich, and the extra funding will be used to ensure his lifelong welfare, said John Carmody of Iran. Miss Nicholas has not seen Benji since the campaign surpassed his target, but his own report said that Benji was glowing over the good news.
Really?
Yes.
He could tell?
So, according to Miss Dirksen, the challenge of dealing with gay bulls in farming is not widely talked about. The animals are seen as no good or useless. Lions, penguins, and cheetahs have all been observed to exhibit homosexual behavior. Bats are widely thought to be the animals with the highest rate of homosexuality among the male population.
Bats are gay?
Yeah.
What is that? Highest rate of really? That should be our title of our show. Bats are gay.
Batman's gay.
Batman's gay. Yeah, okay. So it's a gay bull because he's not, he would have been a sandwich. So what's going to happen? Will it be enough to feed the bull? I guess. I hope
so. Well, they put him in a sanctuary, so he'll probably be have a grazing pasture and get hay in the winter and stuff and be taken care of. So
hey.
Hey. Get some hay.
They're going to eat that.
And hopefully, there'll be another gay bull that gets rescued and sent out to pasture with it.
With him, so.
And they'll fall in love.
They'll fall in love, maybe. Yeah. Let's hope that that happens then. Okay, I added another bizarre here.
Okay.
Because it kind of concerns many of us, even gay people. So over 80 million bacteria are transferred during a 10-second kiss. Thank you, Caesar, for sending this article. So I think it's an interesting one. So couples who give each other intimate kisses several times a day share similar communities of saliva-dwelling oral bacteria. Romantic, right? But don't panic. Many of these bacteria are essential for the digestion of food, synthesizing nutrients, and preventing disease. So mouth-to-mouth, not ass-to-mouth, mouth-to-mouth contact has been observed in many animals, but the way we do it, intimate kisses involving full tongue contact and saliva exchange is something that's uniquely human. Really? Only humans do that? Ray, stop that. It's an adaptive courtship behavior that's common to over 90% of known cultures. Yeah. Even some Christians would, you know, tongue. We've got about 700 different varieties of bacteria in our mouth. But it now appears that our partners play an important role in its makeup. The new study published in Microbiome is the first to take a thorough look at the effects of intimate kissing on our oral microbiota. So there's a paper by Remco Kort and colleagues shows that when couples kiss at relatively high frequencies, their salivary microbiota become quite similar. Oh, you kind of become assimilated to each other. Astoundingly, as many as 80 million bacteria are transferred during a 10-second kiss. So when you make out, you're actually transferring 80 million bacteria to each other.
Well, I'm glad I can share just a little bit of me.
Okay. But you know what I think? You know, as a gay guy thinking about this, what about ass to mouth?
Oh, then it quadruples. Then it... And all that ain't bacteria.
Yeah, but how about, you know, during sex and everything? So we're just talking about kissing here. But how about people who are, you know, do a lot of, you know, rimming and everything? How's that? That's going
to
be...
Well, I'm sure that, maybe you need to get a feasibility study done.
Somebody has to study ass-to-mouth bacteria transfer. Yeah.
I guess the easiest way to do it is go to a bathhouse. Swab everybody down before they go in, take oral samples, and then as they come back out, did you have a mouth to aim it? Did you
interview them?
Yeah, interview them before oral sex, and then do it. See how many much more bacteria shows that ass to mouth love.
Did you have ass to mouth?
Ass to mouth. Did you suck the cock after it had been up your ass?
Oh my God, that's so nasty. Okay, so what do you guys think of our article? It's kind of kind of dirty, I should say. Okay, so let's go to feedback, Ray.
All right, we got some feedback. You take the first one.
Okay. You like the second one, don't you? Mm-hmm. So, Nard and Ray, I have enjoyed watching your podcast since I stumbled upon it a few months back on YouTube. Since I'm a new viewer, was there a show which covered bear codes within the bear community? I have bear friends, but they don't even know anything about bear codes. Does it only apply to bears and cubs or chubs only? I wonder if there is such a thing as a twink code. Let me answer the twink code. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any. But the bear code. Do you remember the bear code before? The B plus, F plus plus, S plus, S minus.
I don't do computer programming.
No, it does sound like computer programming. But yeah, it goes by Z. Yeah, it goes by Z. Regards. Thanks, Z. To answer your question, it's really, God, it's been probably 8-10 years maybe since I've seen the bear code. And
do we really need codes?
Yeah, but do we? Well, right now in this day and age, it hasn't been adapted. But I remember back then when the bear community is kind of young, and they have the bear codes. You have the B plus plus, meaning you have a full beard. F for something. H plus plus, that means you're very hairy. Things like that. But if you're not hairy, you're H minus. You know, there are some codes like that.
Z, instead of reading somebody's profile, if you read their profile or you find them attractive, just message them, say, hey, how you doing? And get to know them. And then you won't need to have codes.
Or chat them up on Growler.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wherever you meet them, chat.
But we're talking about these bear codes existed before, there was internet already. It's just that there was no Flickr. There was no Tumblr. There was no places to put these pictures. So when you put your ad, even in magazines, codes.
Like everything narrow stuff down. And I guess if you're just looking for hookups, that's a great way to narrow down just what you want. But if you're looking to meet people, don't worry about codes. Just meet them, because you'll miss some people if you say, oh, well, they're hairy, I can't talk to them.
So Z, yeah, tell us about your bear code. What's your bear code, Z?
That's right.
That'd be nice to know. Okay.
Okay, on to number two. This is a feedback from the micro penis story we did last week.
I think we offended someone. Okay, keep going.
I think you offended someone.
No, you offended someone. You offended someone.
I like your shirt, really, but the conversation you had about a man with a micro penis brought back the humiliating experiences that I've known since junior high. Sure, you said near the closet, particularly, it's no big deal, but I wondered by then if the pun was intended and what affirmation you might have offered wasn't for the guy's penis as something that might be a source of sexually positive pleasure. It was a reassurance that there were strap-ons or toys which might make up for what I suppose you saw as only a lack source of inadequacy, or the guy could just be a bottom or offer up his ass only, as if, again, his penis and the rest of his body didn't matter. By just feeling sorry for him, laughing, and talking about the acorn in a bush, you perpetuate, I think, having a smaller-than-average cock makes you less of a gay man, maybe less of a man. To be honest, having a small cock made a great excuse not to come out of the closet and claim a gay identity for myself for decades, and so to avoid the humiliations of junior high all over again, yet not coming out was based on fear of how other gay men might see me. But that same small penis was a source of pleasure just the same in a hetero marriage. So what I wondered is, since you can affirm the bodies of gay men that aren't young, thin, muscled, why couldn't you sexually affirm the percentage of gay men who have penises that are small, without making their penis size a joke or implying that penis has no value in sex? I don't want to sound harsh, but I just was left an old embarrassing sense of shame from that last conversation, but I really value the show. And this came from R.
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 We'll call you R.
R.
Well, so, what? Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Well, a lot of what we were talking about, we pulled from the article, and we read word for word. So if you want to go read the article, go look at the show notes. Posted the link to the article.
Show notes.
That was what was posted in the article. And yes, we kind of joked around about some of it. But at times we get to be like two little girls up here. We were talking about penises and stuff and got giggling and start laughing at it. And we were kind of having fun with each other because, you know, I was asking the questions and making out like he had a small penis or something. And it was just a joke between us.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, my preference, I don't care what size your penis is, because honestly, if you don't, to me, personality matters more. If the size of somebody's cock is what drives a person, then that's all they're going to look for, and that's what they want in their life. And if having a small penis because you have a small penis is not good enough for them, then screw them. You don't need to be in their life. So that's my look on it. And if we said, and joking around and kind of reading the article, if we said anything that's offensive to anybody, I don't think that was the purpose of us talking about it. I think we're just being giddy and silly.
I thought you meant it.
No. because I was the fat kid in school. And I've always had a hard image for my body issue about being fat. And for a long time, and still there are times today, but you know, people making jokes about being fat or overweight and stuff, you know, I laugh along with it, but a lot of those feelings from childhood come up where I was poke fun at and stuff. So I can relate, R, to where you're coming from on that part. I think if you're a person and you're with somebody and they disregard you or make you feel unworthy because you have a physical disability, emotional disability, or just disregard you as a person, all general, that you're just a fuck or something, I don't think you need to be with those type of people anyhow. So if you get a place like that and they make you feel like that, then look at it as this way. It's not something wrong with you. It's something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. Because there's more to life than a penis. Whether it's big, large, small, vagina, or whatever. Because you know what? A lot of guys have big penises. It don't make them a better person. So that's my whole take on the penis thing. So,
are you saying you're a bad person?
No.
Oh, you're a good... I'm kidding.
See, even now he jokes.
Sorry, I'm sorry, guy. I'm sorry. So, R, okay. I didn't mean if you got offended by that. No. Okay. If people... I don't mind. I mean, I myself have, you know, I've played around before, and they do... My first boyfriend was, he has a very small dick. He did. And... We worked on it. We had pleasure. That's great. I mean, what I'm saying is, I know we did say about the strap-ons and everything. We're just joking around.
But that was part of the article.
Yeah, because that's part of the article. But then what I'm saying is, if I would date you. I mean, I don't really mind. I personally don't mind small dicks. Even though, yeah, they're small. I know we said about acorn in the bush and everything, but that doesn't really. If it's a source of pleasure, then why not? Yeah, of course. That's where. Yeah. Obviously, you have had a lot of sex. I guess even if you had maybe you have a small penis, but if you had a lot of sex, that's good. And you're right. You don't have to be a even if you have a small dick, you can still top. You don't have to be a bottom all the time. It just so happens that some people do get to become bottoms because they prefer that, and you know what? If I were single, I'd probably date you, even if you have a small dick. You know, it's
unless you're a twink, then he probably wouldn't go anywhere near you.
Well,
if you're a real bear, then you might be okay.
Well,
but if you're a twink,
you'd see, it all boils down to types now. So there you go. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't really matter. There's no pun intended. That's no big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. If it's a big deal for you, yes, that's okay. I mean, to me, it's not. It's not a penis size. Is not really a. If it's even a big dick, I don't even know what to do with it. I may be impressed. Hey, it's big, nice. Ow! So I might be impressed, but if you don't know sometimes they're just not enjoyable. Would you? No. I mean, if there's, it's
well,
an average.
It goes back to the whole thing that a man's masculinity and virility is tied back to the size of his penis. I mean, even if you go back and look during the Roman era, everything's with large phalluses and big penises, and you're a man, and it was power, the bigger the penis, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, that's just some hype that we've built on ourselves, like effeminate men are gay. Not all effeminate men are gay. All butch women are lesbians. That's not the case. I mean, it's just one of those stereotypes that gets put out there. And, you know, and unless it affects us, we go through this and we don't see it or really think about the jokes and stuff we say, how they hurt people, or we just ignore them, or, you know, stuff like that, when the person sitting next to you could be really getting hurt by what you're saying. So it's just one of those things that social awareness, we get better about social awareness and what's going on, that you get more understanding.
Also, you know, this podcast, this video podcast that Ray and I, it's really more of us just chatting with each other too, you know?
Yeah.
You're like it's like you are eavesdropping to our conversation, but we do talk to you, so, yeah. You know? So, yeah, that's pretty much what this show is about too, you know? It's just really us now having fun, talking about things, talking about dicks, big or small, wide asses or whichever, or tight asses, which we talk about everything in the show. And just so happened, if this struck a nerve, then we're doing something right. Because we got people to talk yeah. about it, right? So we appreciate your email, R. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for your email. Also, Z, about his question about the bear codes. Anyway, so what is he going to do this week?
Get ready for Thanksgiving.
Ready for Thanksgiving? You guys are going to be home, right?
Yeah.
You're not leaving town? Okay. Yeah, I'm not leaving town, too.
No, okay. Staying here.
All right. So, I guess that's it. That's it for the show. Thank you, everyone, for the ones who sent emails.
That's right. Z and R. Keep them coming.
Yeah. We keep it, you know, yeah. We hide their names and their initials right now. Okay. So, if you want to contact, I'm burping Chipotle right now. Uh-oh. Not Chipotle. What was it? Mission Burrito?
Mission Burrito. That's changing their name.
Okay, so if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to leave a voice message or leave your opinion or comment or whatever you want, or just call us in and say hi, you can call the show and leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, and subscribe. Yeah, give us a call and we'll leave it in the show. I mean, we play it in the show. So, we haven't had a voicemail for a long time now.
Yeah, not
for a while. Okay, and subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. And you can also listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and Stitcher Radio. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. And wolf, some mini hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast.